converse with some students here tonight. So we are going to read the whole of this passage, and we want to reflect this chapter of Psalms 23. Alright, shall we read all together, whether you're using your King James or whatever, it doesn't matter, just read. Alright? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff be comforted of me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Father, bless the reading of thy holy word this morning, Lord, as we gather. May your Spirit, Lord, be in the midst of us and help us, Lord, to understand, to reflect, O Father, on this psalm. A psalm that King David wrote, Father, when he was out there in the pasture, when he had been through much in life. And he said, thou, Lord, wrote this psalm, reflect upon your goodness, your mercy, and who you are. And just as we have sung this song, the song earlier, you are our everything. So we thank you, Lord. So we ask of your presence right now, and help our spirit, Lord, to understand and comprehend the importance of the things, O Lord, that King David have received from you and have put down in this song, O Lord, with the word, O Father, that has a whole lot of meaning and a lot of things, O Lord, for us to reflect on. We ask for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we are reflecting on this Psalms 23. As you can see, of course, it is always known as the shepherd psalm. It was about the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord my shepherd. Now, I want you to first of all understand that we use the word, or commonly in denomination, they use the word Jehovah. Alright? It's very common, but I do not like to use the word Jehovah. I like to use the word Yehovah. More on the Chinese side. Yehovah. Yehovah. You know, and of course, the Y is supposed to be the letter in pronunciation as in Yahweh. But because of somehow the way it is written in the English form, they always use the J instead of the Y. Alright, so in this Psalms 23, there is a lot of name or titles regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. You can at least get 7, 8, 9, even more as regarding who Yehovah is or Yahweh is to King David. And King David is expressing his feeling, his understanding, the revelation concerning Yahweh. So first of all, let us go to Deuteronomy and put your finger, of course, on this Psalms 23. Or let us go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Here is one of the great commandments, or very important commandments to the children of Israel. And this is what you find those Orthodox Jews, they wear it on their head, the phylactery, and also on their armband, a little box. And this is the verse that contains inside that. So they always recite this and always remember, alright, who God really is. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, as you can see the word here, capital letter, all letters here, capital, it means Yahweh. The Lord our Elohim, Yahweh, our Elohim is one Lord. Yahweh Elohim is Akka, one. So this is important to make children of Israel understand this. So when we hear this, and we know that here this is the book of Deuteronomy, one of the first five books in the Bible were written by Moses while he was out there in the wilderness before the children of Israel crossed over the river Jordan into Canaan. So God had given him this commandment of Mount Sinai, and here he's telling the children of Israel and reminded them of what important that there is no other God but Yahweh. Alright? There is no other Allah but Yahweh. There is no other Elohim but Yahweh. There is no other Shun but Yahweh. Do you understand? We call the word God is just a noun. Is that right? It's God is just an object of worship. Sir, Allah, goes to God. You know, and whatever Indian word that they use for God. What do they use Indian word for God? For the country, you know, Indian word for God? There must be a word for God in India. You know, like Chinese Shunmin, you know, it's just a common name word. Yeah, but there are many goddesses, I know, but there are. Alright, so what we have then is this is what's going to announce. And when we see this verse of scripture, and as we see the rest of the first five book of Moses, we come to realize that God is a covenanter. He makes a covenant. He's a covenant maker. Remember that. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. And he made a covenant even with Gideon and so many other of the prophets and great men of God in the Old Testament. Is that right? So he is the everlasting God. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 33. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 33. In fact, I told you it was Exodus 21. I'm picking it around wrong again. Alright. Genesis 21 and verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name Yahweh, the everlasting God. So, Yahweh is the Lord, and He is a covenantor, He is a covenant maker, and He is the everlasting God. Now, there is no other God. It doesn't matter what people believe in, but we need to know what we believe in. Amen? Because we have a relationship. God made a covenant with Abraham that traced back all the way down to Jesus Christ at Calvary. And Christ, before He went to Calvary, He made a covenant. He renewed the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Old Testament covenant by bringing about a new covenant. So this is the covenant, the new covenant I make with you, in my blood, in His blood. And He took the bread and He took the cup. Remember, that is the new covenant. So God is always making covenant with His people. And when He makes a covenant, it's a vow. He makes a contract, an agreement, and He will fulfill it. Amen. So we can rest assured, even as King David wrote this psalm, whatever you see here in this psalm, King David had an experience to know that God will keep His word. Amen. Alright, so now we have the Lord my shepherd. What we have here is Jehovah Roi. That is, Roi is shepherd. One who looks after sheep. So, He is Jehovah Roy. Now he is a shepherd, and now King David, being that he was a shepherd boy before he became king, and so he knows how to write a song, and he began with the first verse of this song: "The Lord is my shepherd." So now here you can see the title. You know, we are dealing with Yahweh. Remember, the whole of this song is about Yahweh, the covenant maker. And I'm right, we see here is King David having that experience. So he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord Yahweh is my Roi. I shall not want." And you know what a shepherd is? He's a provider. Shepherd cares for the sheep. Not just like a father to the children. But you know what about
like more of a shepherd who really tender to the sheep. Now, fatherhood is one thing, but in the shepherd, there is also the fatherhood side as well as the motherhood side. You know, father goes to work, mother nestles the baby and care for the home. Is that right? Father brings in the food and mother cooks the food and provides. Mother is the housekeeper, make everything comfortable in the home. So God, that's why God, we always call him the father, but in him of God is the motherhood. Okay? So King David used the word shepherd. Shepherd cares, shepherd protects, shepherd provides. And he says here, I shall not want, I shall not lack. So the shepherd provide everything that the sheep needs. Whatever the sheep has need, the shepherd will provide. So he says here, King David said, I shall not want, I have no lack. So here, what is the title? Again, almost. Now, here we have six verses of scriptures. Only six verses. But I do not know how many stanza there is. We call that stanza, how many lines of the song when it is sung in the Hebrew, or when King David, you know, sang that. Okay, and the I shall not want. And here again we see another title that is common. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is our provider. Or you can say, the Lord provides. The Lord is our provider. The Lord provides. Alright? So we can see that now every time that statement is mentioned or a line is sung by King David, it actually reflects God. And King David is reflecting upon the goodness of God, or what he is, and you know who he is to him. Right? And that's the thing that we see here. So now when we look at this, that he is our provider. Remember the incident in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, we're going to look a little here now. Alright, Genesis 22 and verse 14. Well, we can see, of course, here, chapter 22, from verse 1 to 14, if you want to, but you're not going to read it. But I guess you're very well aware of it. Right? And by Abraham, Abraham was told by God, commanded by God, to take his son Isaac. You know, to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed. And if you remember, do you know where Mount Moriah is? Or have you forgotten? What is Mount Moriah? It is where Jerusalem is situated. Okay? One of those hills up there. That's not why that is called Mount Zion, as well as many wonderful names as regarding this place where the city of Jerusalem is situated. It's a place beautiful for situation. Very nice place to be. And so it was here that Abraham took Isaac, his son. And always remember that Isaac is not a little boy. Okay? Isaac would have been around 20 years old by then. Okay? And God told him to sacrifice his son. And you know how that Abraham took Isaac up there with the servant, and the servant stayed down where they were, and he went with his son further. And when they went up there, Abraham built an altar, and Isaac said, Father, where is the sheep? Where is the lamb offering? And Abraham made a simple confession, the Lord will provide. And that's what we see here. You will read from verse 30. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to say to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, in the mouth of the Lord, it shall be seen. That means God provides the sacrifice. Because Abraham confessed earlier to his son, in verse 8, Abraham said unto myself, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. You know, I like that. You know,
God already made a covenant with Abraham that he will give him a son, and he will also be a father of many nations. Right? Now, you must understand that Abraham already had the revelation that if God told him that I'll make you the father of many nations, he must mean that there must come a Redeemer, a Messiah, so that he, through his seed line, will come forth that Messiah, and he definitely will be called the father of many nations. Is that not right? And that's why when he brought the son up to this Mount Moriah, when Isaac said, "What is the lamb offering?" Abraham made this statement, "God will provide himself." You see that? He didn't say, "God will provide me an offering." No. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Do you understand? Now, when you offer an offering, it's your offering. But this is God providing his own offering to himself. You know? And true enough, it is reflected because of Abraham's faith in willing to sacrifice his son. Because as I said this before, Abraham knew that no matter what, Isaac cannot die. Because in Isaac is the seed. Is that alright? It's the line that will bring forth the Messiah. That's why Isaac cannot die. Abraham is willing to sacrifice him because God has to resurrect him, or God will have to do something. You see? So Abraham was tested, and God kept his promise, and he provided a ram, you know, for Abraham. And he took that ram. And sure enough, God provided the Lamb of God that was crucified on the same mountain, all right, where the offering was carried out. Okay, so you can see here we have the Lord is our provider. He will provide our every need. Back to Psalm 23 again. Jehovah Jireh provides everything. How many of your children believe that God provides their every need? You know, in this life, it is not about money, houses, or all the things that we worry too much about. Because the first thing that we need to know is who God is. Once you know Him, you rest yourself in Him. Because in this whole song, at the end of it, he has a very particular idol that you can see that actually consummates this whole song. Alright? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 2 now. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. The second line of the song, you call it the second verse anyway. It talks about peace. And plenty of the, leading of the Holy Spirit. Or leading of God to green pasture. Now, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. What make? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sounds like he forced you to go down. Alright? Now, the shepherd don't force his sheep to lie down. The shepherd leads the sheep to a green pasture. And when they reach there, the shepherd will be there, sitting down, and the sheep automatically know that this is the place. And they will just lie down. So that is to say, he maketh me that he led me to the green place to lie down. You know, he does not force us. He does not force us to lie down in green pasture, to eat anything that we don't want to. That's not what it said when we think, when the Word of God comes forth in the doctrine or in the teaching, God does not force you. He only guides you into the revelation and understanding of the Word. He does not force you to see. Now, some denominations, you know how they force people to conform to a certain standard and things like that. We take, for example, the UPC. Alright? The UPC will force the churches, their members, to conform to their standard of holiness, a dress code, and we don't force. We only teach you. And it's up to you to do it and obey it. You understand? Now, here in this is the 21st century now, But back in the early 20th century, you know that the UPC was so dogmatic that so much so that that some woman, some of the member believer, in fact there was a case that I read about. You know, this woman was working in a company that a lot that requires her to climb up and down the ladders. Okay? And of course you can't wear a skirt coming up and down the ladder because they are all workers around, you know. You see. So she was told to wear trousers or something and she refused. And so she quit. Well, common sense will tell you that if you want to work in that place, if you want to wear a skirt, you must at least wear something inside the skirt that actually covers it well. That will give you a common sense. You understand what I'm saying? You know, just like a Bengali dress, for example. You wear a skirt on the outside, wear a kind of legging in the inside. But you know, that's America. They don't think about it. You see? And there were other cases of a sister of a believer also. Because she wasn't conforming right in the way that the dress code was required, then she was in fact immediately excommunicated from the church. Now, how do you expect people to learn? People learn by attending fellowship, by attending Bible study, to understand the word. And it does not take a person to be converted immediately. Alright, as far as the holiness is concerned, godliness is concerned, people take time to understand what you require, why do we need to dress the way we should dress, and behave the way we should behave. You see, so that's why he leads me to green pasture. And he says here, to lie down in green pasture. Now this word green pasture tells us that it is green, it is not a place where it has been trampled down. Do you see? So it is exactly what we have today. We come to the green pasture to eat. It is not doctrines. It's not teaching that has been trampled down by denomination, trampled down by the traditions of man. The creeds and the dogma that is passed down to us. Right? Christ will lead, as a good shepherd will lead his sheep to green pasture and expect them to just graze on it. Christ will not lead them to a place that has been trampled down by men, or to a place where there are poisonous weeds, or force the sheep to eat when the sheep is not willing to eat. You understand that? And I know when you look at a shepherd, when a shepherd leads the flock of sheep to a green pasture, automatically the sheep will just eat because the shepherd will always bring the sheep to the proper place. It doesn't have to force the sheep to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Okay? We depend on the leading of the Spirit and trust the Lord to guide us and lead us. So we call us, He is Jehovah Jireh, and He will lead us to green pasture. Now He led me beside the still waters. He led me beside the still waters. I want to also say that the word green pasture has very unique form is to say that green pasture is like a house. Because today you don't have to go to a house, you don't have to go home to eat, you can go to a hawker and buy food. But in those days, everybody would go home. In those days, there is no shopping center. You know what I'm saying? There is no shopping mall. They walk up in the field or whatever they do, everyone goes home to eat. Do you understand? So he led me to lie down in green pasture. He said, you are comfortably at home when you have food to eat and you are comforted. Alright? And he led me beside still waters. Still waters means it represents tranquility. Still water. Not raging water. And what does that bring us about? Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. He sends peace. And that's why he brings us to play. That's why when you're a shepherd, King David, you cannot always think about King David because I don't know about
What other shepherds are doing? Maybe modern day shepherds are quite different. But the big shepherd, I mean, King David Bigger, he was a shepherd when he was young. He would lead all his sheep to a place where it's green pasture, where there is a river flowing or a pond, it's tranquil and nice and serene. You see? And you know, if you ever go to a place to eat, alright? And if you really want to have, well, enjoy your food, you want a place that is quiet and enjoy it. You don't want to go to a restaurant here, the guy is making so much noise, the next table here and there, and this, all this noise is going on. What do you eat? I don't think that the food is well digested. So when the shepherd brings the sheep to a place where there's tranquil green grass, you know, nice surrounding, surely that's what the sheep gets by, you know, in the nourishment of this environment with the green grass that the sheep is eating. So he is Jehovah Shalom. Let us go to another verse of scripture in the book of Judges, chapter 6. Alright. Here we see about Gideon. Judges. Chapter 6. And we read from verse 11. Alright, chapter 6, verse 11. Here we have this whole setting here. The Midianites are fighting against Israel and oppressed Israel. Okay, and here now was an angel of the Lord that appeared to him as Gideon sat under an oak, which was an offering that pertained unto Joash, the Abihor's right. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, now I want you to notice in the translation, in the King James Version, if you are using it. Here, you know, the angel of the Lord, he says, the word Lord is in capital. So it's Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, appeared unto Gideon. And in verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, that's small letter, for the nation, oh Adonai. Now whenever an angel of the Lord appears in any form, or a mighty man, it comes to a prophet or a saint of God, and they recognize that these are messengers. They were always calling Adonai, you know. If they will know that this is a supernatural manifestation, they call it Adonai. Otherwise, then they will call, if he's a prophet, they will call him, holy man, you know, well, man of God, or prophet, you know, or usually call it man of God. Do you understand? But here, Gideon recognized who this angel was. And he probably thought he was just an angel, not realizing that this was none other than the messenger of Yahweh, whose face there is only one, which we all know. That's the face of Jesus Christ. There's only one face that God has in the physical. Do you understand? There was the Word of God made manifest in human form. Do you understand that? The theophany of God. So it is the angel of Yahweh, but when Gideon saw him, he called him, oh Adonai. If Yahweh be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all this miracle which our father told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And Yahweh looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, Oh Adonai, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And Yahweh said unto him, surely I be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. Now here was an angel of the Lord that did not talk about just an ordinary angel, perhaps. That's what he called Adonai. You know, usually they use the word Adonai anywhere, whether they recognize whether it's Yahweh or not, they always call it use the word. Because when God comes down in the form of a man, Adonai means the blesser of the earth. God comes down to bless his people. He's always called Adonai. Alright? But he didn't recognize that it was the Lord himself that was speaking. Okay? It's not like a Gabriel or Michael. You understand? Archangel Michael or Gabriel. They come to speak. But he was actually the messenger of God. And the Lord said, Yahweh said unto him, surely I be with you, and thou shalt smite the Benjamite as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talk with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before you. And he said, and the angel said, I will tarry until you come again. And get out where in and make ready a kit, and 11 kits of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in the basket, and he put the broth in the pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the 11 kits, and lay it upon this rock. Now always remember why the emphasis is on the certain word. Pray upon this rock, okay? And pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff. He had a stick with him. He has a walking stick. You know, he has a walking stick. That's the staff, right? This is a shepherd. The other thing about it. Do you think the other thing that this angel of the Lord here was actually appearing like Christ, okay, with a walking staff in his hand. Huh? I may tell you, remember, later on when we read Psalms, the Lord and that staff, they comfort me. You understand that the staff is a sharp walking stick, huh? One end is the way you probe the sheep. The other way is the one that is the word that actually strikes the wound or the enemies. Do you understand? Okay? But sometimes people say that the staff has a hooked end. It has a hooked end. And they said they use the hooked end to hook the ship today. Instead of going a bit too far, they hook the neck of the ship and put it in. Okay, that will be an as a start. But when you start whacking and against the octopium, you hold the stick, you want to hold the heavier end away from you. The lighter end towards you, so you got more force when you hit and a wire end. Do you understand? So, to many people, they will say that staff, the end of the staff, one end of it is either the rod and the staff itself. Okay? Alright, that is if you have a hook branch. But usually, the shepherd always walk with the end and just hold the heavy end and push the sheep. But some believe that it's more of a hook on one same end. You know when? Okay? But here it is that, and let upon this rock and upon the broad and he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. What end of the staff? The lighter end. The end of the staff, which is the end of comfort. You understand that? Okay? Not the rod end. And he touched the flesh and the 11 cake. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God! Alas, O Yahweh Elohim! For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto these days. You know, because here Israel was losing the battle to the Midianites. There were prayers, and here God has already called Gideon, you know. But he seemed to be questioning if God is real. How come if all these things that we heard about our forefathers, you know, being led out of Egypt,
to this place, and now what do we have? We think oppressed. And then when the angel talked, the Lord talked to him, he was already in the state of distress. You know, there was no peace in the heart of Gideon because of what the Midianite did. So he asked for the sign of this angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord gave him a sign. And that's why, with that, Gideon was at peace, realizing that God has led him to green pasture, and he says, you want it, so to speak. Okay? So that is one of those titles again that we see. Alright, now we come to the next one here. Let us go back again to Psalms 23. He restored my soul. He restored my soul. Obviously, after all, Gideon can say that too. He restored my soul. After all, if you are distressed, if you are oppressed, if you are down and out, when God did something, He came and He restored your soul. When He gives you peace, He restores your soul. What does He give us then? Jehovah, Rapha. The Lord is our healer, or the Lord heals, the Lord restores. Okay? When you are weak and out, and He grants you food, nourish you, He restores your health. When you are sick, He heals you. He restores you to health. The Lord is my healer. He restored my soul. Not just, you know, your physical one, but soul. Exodus chapter 50. Exodus chapter 15. And we have verse 26. And God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, thy Elohim, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. But the most of all healing is the healing of the soul. It's not the healing of the physical body. Huh? That's why by His stripes we are healed. It's not talking about the physical healing. It is talking about the spiritual healing. The healing of the spirit. The healing of your soul. Okay? So he restored my soul. And the word soul, of course, also means your whole being. Huh? So, Jehovah, Rapha. Okay. Let us go to the next one here. The next verse. Oh, next line. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth. He guides. He conducts. God doesn't force us. He leads us. He led us to green pasture. He leads us where we should go. You know one thing about our Lord is that He has a way of dealing with humans. He has a way of dealing with us people. Right? Some of we may be disobedient, we may be stubborn, we may be anything. But He has a way of dealing with us. He may take you 10 years down the road before you feel something. You know. I remember I vaccinated for 2 years. In that 2 years, you know, God has a way of dealing with me. I mean, a very strange way of dealing with me. Because that is His wonders to perform. God works in mysterious ways, so to speak. Right? But He will always lead us in such a way that will glorify His name. That does not bring us to a place where we condemn Him. Initially, we might we'll be upset about something. We get upset with God and things like that. Sure. You know. Like a wayward sheep. Oh, the one sheep that went away of the 100 into the wilderness, you know, wayward. When the shepherd found him, what did the shepherd do to him in order to prevent him from going astray a second time? Is to break his leg. And when the leg is broken, of course the sheep will be will be crying all the time. It hurts. Probably the sheep would talk and would be saying, "What are you doing? Why you break my leg?" and stuff like that, you know. So when we are in a certain situation too, sometimes we don't realize God. You know, certain thing comes to our life, we always blame it on God. Why? And I guess you have read many testimonies. That's on the internet. There are many testimonies of people, of Christians, you know, who want to do something, it never comes to pass. And they got upset with the Lord. But after several years down the road, we realized that it was the hand of the Lord that pulled them away. You see. We don't know the direction sometimes we are going. We're heading in the wrong direction, the wrong path. You understand? Okay? So he led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, in the path of righteousness. Whose righteousness again? His righteousness. As I said, we don't have any righteousness. All our righteousness are 50 rags. It is his righteousness that he gave to us. And that is the path that he's supposed to go. It's not painful. It's just to obey and trust in him. And so what do we have in this? Yehovah. Kill him. Now sometimes you can, the spelling depends on whether the American spell or English spell, don't be aware of it. This is one of the ways it is spelled. Alright? Yehovah is clean. The Lord is our righteousness. Amen. Not difficult to understand on this one, of course. Alright? So now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. In his day Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah. Alright? After all, you know, if Judah is saved, I mean, God has already promised to Israel, the tribes of Israel. And Judah being the one he is, you know, Judah was the one that, where the lineage came from, but you know, Judah himself committed certain sin, and so, yet, this promise is, it is not how good you are, not how good Judah have been, you know, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, no matter how sinful you are, how good you are. Everything that God is doing to give us salvation is his doing. We didn't have anything good in us. You see? So he's God, our righteousness. God, my righteousness. Amen. So don't tell me you're righteous, huh? You don't have any. You're righteous because God gave you his righteousness. To walk in his path. Alright, let's go to the next thought now, which is a thought of victory. Walking to the valley of the shadow of death, huh? Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now here verses 4, 5, and 6 has a lot of, you know, the lines the King David wrote here. They intersect. Many of, you know, a little word here also contain a certain titles of God, his attributes. Ok
Okay? So now he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't read it as, yeah, I walk into the valley of the shadow. No, you don't walk into it. If you walk into it, you're dead. We walk through it. Don't read it as walk into it. Huh? We walk through it. Right? So he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yes, I've been through the valley of the shadow of death. Many times. But there's one time that I've been. And always, I come out of it rejoicing. What is the valley of the shadow of death? Every one of us must have been through, unless you're not baptized. Right? When you accept the Lord, when you repent, you go into the water, you go into what? Death. Do you remember? You go through death into death. Because when you go into water baptism, you die to sin. Well, you didn't die. You're dead to sin, but you resurrect again, you are new. You walk through. That's why you must pass over Jordan. You must cross over Jordan. And you don't cross over Jordan alone. We never did. He crossed over Jordan with us. When I went into the wilderness, water baptism, he was with me in baptism. Because why? He already done it before. Huh? He didn't win once in death and resurrected the new life for you and me. And he wants you to do the same, and he's there to guide you into it, in the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, you came out alive. Oh, pass through that valley of death. Do you understand that? So, that is one thing you need to understand. And it tells us we gain the victory here. Victory is my, the song. Remember? Because Christ already won the victory. Remember that the song is that we may lose a battle now and then, but the war is over. The war is won. Correct? So we went through this battle, said of them, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, again, let us go to Psalms 2. Psalms chapter 2. And we look at verse 9 here. He's talking about the enemies. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So you know what a rod is then. Thy rod and thy staff. Thy rod. If Christ is leading me, or leading us, we know that we are in good hand. We have a commander in chief that we can trust. Isn't that true? Yes or no? Now, the night that when Israel got out of Egypt, the night when Israel got out of Egypt, they traveled all the way to try to go over to the promised land, remember? And then Pharaoh realized later on that he should not have let the children of Israel go. So, he called for an army of chariots, soldiers, and pursued them. Correct. Now, so the Bible, we all know that the Bible said God led the children of Israel by a fire, by a pillar of fire. So, however, Moses was the leader. So, you know, well, we could say Moses was the captain. God himself was the commander in chief. So, all the children of Israel moved, followed the line, the pillar of fire. Okay, because the commander in chief told his captain, Moses, to tell the people, this is the way to go, therefore. But when they come to a dead end, to a river, you know, to the Dead Sea, they get to a dead end. Now that's when the children of Israel raised the voice. Captain Moses, you led us out here to die. And you said your commander-in-chief is leading us out of Egypt to safety. Now that means to say that Yahweh must
because they are that commander in chief.
Isn't it?
Do you think that's the way God leads his children? God is always testing his people. He will always lead them and it seems that they will come.
No, when God leads us, sometimes it comes in that we are at the end. It seems that, oh, why is this what God is doing? That's what you want me to do.
And now that you are at the dead end. And that's when you need to be hearing the word of God, which says, be still and know that I'm God.
But in the world that we live in today, there are so many voices all around us.
Voices of politicians,
oh, political voices,
economic voices, or financial voices.
Educational voices out here and all that.
Propaganda, all sorts of voices we hear.
And so much so that we cannot hear the voice of God.
But we have to see the shepherd's lead. And when he says that when he leads us through the valley of shadow of death, we can certainly say that we will fear no evil.
This evil, you know what evil is? A whole lot of bad things.
That's why he used the word evil.
The word evil, we come from the word devil. And devils do evil. You know, devils do evil
things.
I will fear no evil.
Especially when he said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
He's always fearful.
And I don't know, some of you might have watched movies like a horror movie. I used to watch them, I loved them. I love to be scared.
You see all the shadow following the guy, the person going to a dark place, you see shadow, you know, coming down. So they're kind of creepy, you know.
So if we go to this world, we were going through this shadow of death. Every day there's all kinds of things.
There is uncertainty.
In the world today, there's a lot of uncertainty. Now we hear about Syria. Well, okay, there's going to be some peace, maybe they're going to search for something, you know, maybe the war will not be, it will not continue, blah, 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 and all that.
Okay, then America, the patent research, say, okay, we will start to temper our economy, you know. So they're not going to print more money now, they try to slow down a little bit.
They're going to create a volatile situation in the stock market.
So what is going to happen?
So all the bank, the financial, you know, the city, the city, not saying it's good, they don't say it's bad. So there are all kinds of voices. So there is a lot of shaking going on in the world today. A lot of uncertainty.
But are you at peace?
Unless, of course, you are an investor.
You're an investor, you say, oh, I have investment in this. Is it safe? Should I take it out?
Or should I take chances and invest more?
Maybe right now we think for this issue. We are living in the year 2013.
Somebody prophesied on the internet. But he became his charismatic anyway. And he believed himself to be a prophet with a lot of, you know, dreams and everything claimed. And sometimes you read it, you just take it with a pinch of salt.
Just a wrong word,
who claimed that he had what you call found the Ark of the Covenant and, you know, tested the blood, and it was the blood of Jesus Christ, real blood of Jesus, having 24 chromosomes and all that stuff. But he died, about 10 years ago or so. And he said, he was interviewed on his deathbed, he still said that is what he said is true. He defined the Ark of the Covenant. But anybody with a common sense to analyze it will find it very, very, you know, absurd.
But you see, this charismatic preacher prophesied that from the year 2013 until the year 2020, the 7 years will be a year of plenty. So he said to his congregation and to all those who believe in him, said, take the opportunity, invest. Get whatever you can and plan to go and find a place in the world, in what nation you can find that is safety, that has safety, you know, that is
very unlikely that war will be fought then. You know, and there is a lot of plenty food, because after 2020 to 2027, there will be 7 years of famine and bad things happen. Wow! What if my thing is Joseph or something? You know. But you know, in charismatic system, there is a lot of vain imagination. That is to say, if we want to go to the year 2027, we must be way off past the rapture, I hope. Unless we believe that the world is going to continue, the system of this world is going to continue without Christ coming back beyond 2030. Huh? Do you think that we can last that long in this world? I'm sick of home. Yes. I have never been this homesick before, like the song said. Unless you want to live in this world and think that there is a world here, that it's going to get bad. Is that right? Singapore is prosperous. More MRT station built, more condominium, more foreigners coming here to work and live here. What will happen to this island? What will happen to Mars? What happened to Russia? Look at the whole situation in the Middle East. That's what we are watching. And you know what? Watch Russia. Watch Israel and watch Russia. And now Russia is in the news more than it was ever before. What do you think? Yes. Well, whatever happened, we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we fear no evil. Whatever comes, good or bad, we walked. Up on the mountain, we walked. We got down to the valley. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We fall. We fear no evil. And what does that make us? What does that make this the title to be? Let us go to the book of Exodus, chapter 17, verse 15. Exodus, chapter 17. Verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah. He said, here is a war with Amalek. Okay, let us just read from verse 8 so we get an idea what happened. Alright, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rapha. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur held up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hand was steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ear of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Well, you know, for God to discomfort or to do away, overcome the Amalekites, He told Moses to tell Joshua to go fight. And Moses would be up on the hill and hold up his hand. As long as his hand is up in the air, they're always smiling and looking back at Moses. Be sure that the hand is up. Huh? But you know, after you put up for a while, your hand is going to get tired. So as the hand can get tired, it can come down. when he began to come down, you know, Joshua man, you know, he's going to lose the battle because they are losing. Even the hands is so important. That's why, you know, why you lift up your hand. When you sing the song, when you praise the Lord, you lift up the hands. Sometimes people like that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When you say praise the Lord, you praise the Lord, you lift up your hand. You know. But many of us, many of us Christians don't do it because we can shy and lift up the hand and praise the Lord. All these are reflected in the song. So most of them are different, but you know, as the final goal on for hours, he gets tired, and so he comes, you know, he couldn't hold it up anymore. And you were losing the battle. So Aaron and Hur took a stone and asked Moses to sit down, and each one lift up his hand on one side. Aaron and Hur lift up. So as long as the hand is up, keep the hand up. Victory is mine. You know, when you the only way you can have victory in Christ is to surrender to Him, not to the enemy. You surrender to Him. When you surrender, when you put up your hand, well, you don't have to do this. When you put up the hand, it's like a V, so you have victory. You know. So this is one of the reasons why Moses had to put up his hand right now. And thereafter, when they won the war, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah. The Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. You know what a banner is? So whenever you know what a banner is, but you know you can say it's a flag also. You can wear the flag, we want, you know. And His banner over me is love, as the song said. The banner over me is love. He loves us, give us the victory. So this whole of this last three verses, four, five, and six, I can pass a whole lot of things. Let's just go to, well, John 10, 7 as well. Let's just look to John 10, 7. You can also look at John 10, 7 on this. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. One dog the sheep is victory because why? You know, he's a keeper. Banner over the sheep is love. You know what's the dog of the sheep? In those days, they have, you know, when the evening time comes, and the sheep is going back to the corral sort of thing, you know, in those days. A little fancy thing, and the shepherd would be sitting at the door. There's not really a real door. He would sit at the door, you know. And then, of course, the short door means that nobody can go in and out. Pass without passing through him. He's the door. So the sheep don't go out anytime he likes, just, you know, get lost in the dark. And neither would there, you know, wolf or animal comes in. I'm the door of the sheep. Fool. See? And he's better over he's better over me, he's good because why? He's the door. He keeps us safe in the house. The door is always there. He's the watchman. He guides. You lock the door, of course, is to prevent people from coming in. So he's the door. He's the banner over me. This Lord. So this is one of those titles of the Lord. All right, and we can go to again in verse 5. All right, we go to the next verse now, verse 5, and then thoughts again, next one we think of. All right, here he has the confidence that we have of the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Jesus had a table spread. And you know the song he sings. Now here I said, he prepares a table before me. There is the word prepares me, set it in order. Not haphazardly. Yeah? Right. You know, like a Chinese dinner course, ten courses. Okay? So you know what is served. They're going to serve in the proper way. But if a table is spread, food is spread on the table, they must arrange in the proper manner. Certain area is where you have your main course and your, you know, your salad that you see in the book. So, he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, this speaks of confidence, this speaks of, you know, God caring for us. In a time when we may be down and out because of the treasures of the enemies come upon us. Now, I don't know how many of you have experienced by looking at this. Let me give you a testimony of mine. I'm using this word for my testimony that I've experienced. Because when I walked in the mental hospital, I mean, that was actually, as I told you before, my testimony was got in my training ground. But in the mental hospital, it's very oppressive. But I worked there for a number of years. And then, of course, in the working inside the hospital, it's not the mental patients are mentally sick. Not people call it mental health. Well, even the mental patient, I understand, but the staff themselves, the nursing staff themselves, they are also men. And that's a fact. You know, I think they are more men than the mental patient. When I was working there were three Christians. Me and there were two others. So I tried to start a little fellowship Bible study. So we had it going for maybe, well, not even two or three times, and then after that it dropped out. Why? Because of the oppression. Not because of the spirit that's swirling around, but it's because of the corruption of the nursing staff themselves. Now, I mean, the third being, you know, they're Christian there, I witnessed. And I was given a title. You already know what they are. What I want title. They call me Reverend Gunn. They call me Father Gunn. Alright, sometimes even Holy Father Gunn. They have all these names for me. And it is well known throughout the horse too. Okay. Now, that's one thing for them to give me this man. But the problem is that in almost every ward I've been, except for those nursing officers, the nursing officer in charge of the ward, the one who will give a report after you are there for several months, you have gone from ward to ward. Except for one or two of these nursing officers who is not mad, you know, I get a good fair report. But for the others, I get a terrible report. I usually don't read my report. You know, at the end of before you leave the ward, they just, you know, there are four columns. I always get the last three, the third or fourth column. I just take a paper, I didn't even read it, I just sign. Very common, you know what the thing is that because I was singled out as one because they don't like me. During the tea time, the staff would sit together in a tea room or coffee room, you know, have their break for 20 minutes and they would talk about gambling, resources. They were talking about women. They were talking about things that are not nice, you know. And so I said they eat them. Of course, they find me sitting there not talking with them, you know, because they are this subject, it's not my subject. You know, they don't like it. You know. So I said, okay, I'll walk away and you can talk, you know, that be at peace because they find it uncomfortable too. So from one word to another, this went around, oh, Father God is like that, like that, like that, like that. Every time I get that report. So, well, that goes on for several years, and well, there was one time when I went to war, here were several male nurses who were trained in general hospital. They applied for psychiatric, you know, course. So the kids, Woolwich Hospital, Mental Hospital, to learn, and there were a few of them, and there was one particular one which I worked with for quite some time, and he was a very nice person, and he said, hey, they always call me a certain God. Say, why are you not applying for general surgery? Go to the GH and learn, you know, and put in your cost. I said, you know, I won't get a chance to be selected. He says, why? I said, you know how corrupt they are. I said, oh, yeah, I understand. That few weeks down, there came an application for civil servant leadership course. And this member said, why don't you apply? And get in. I said, yeah, I'm going to apply. And he went, So I applied for this leadership training. And you know what I got? There were several of them applying, and one of them was who also is a senior, high senior officer. And he is terrible. He's a terrible person. He hammered a patient. He beat up a patient sometimes with the teeth. The teeth of the patients came off. You know. And yet he acts like he's very, very innocent. He applied, he didn't get it. So of all the person in the hospital, I was the only one who got the cost to go for 2 weeks of outward bound leadership training. Now in the leadership training, you don't know nobody knows what's going on. And we were there as a group, different ones from different departments of the government hospital. I mean government department, whether it's like income tax, you know, the traffic police, the police force, they were there. So we went through 2 weeks outward bound training, leadership training, you know, backpack and lead the group, and then in the classroom, you know, how they handle people and so forth. And everybody must participate. They are watching. There are two men and one woman. They are watching, just observing. And after the 2 weeks is over, we don't know what, we all go home, went back to the work. But actually, they're writing a report and sending back to the relevant department. So when we went back, and within a month, there was another open application for general nursing in General Hospital. So this male nurse again told me, "Hey, Gun, apply, you should get in now. Don't worry, you should get in." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to apply. I know I will get in now." And so when I applied, I went for interview. When I went for interview, the PSC, they were, you know, matron was there and all this. So before me, there were other candidates going there for interview. Everyone waiting, less than 3-5 minutes, they came up. So when I went in, I was prepared for it. I brought with me my, you know, prophetic revelation booklet. I went in there, and my interview lasted about 15 minutes. They asked a whole lot of things. And why did you apply all these years when you have your best boy who had been blind 4-5 times? And this is the first time I told them the true reason. But I never tell them about the corruption. I told them, yeah, I have a ministry, I do what I need to do, so I don't have the time to really study. You know, in the sense, which is pretty true. And he said, are you able to study now? You know, what your gospel work? I said, well, I'm quite certain now. You know, and I showed them my book, but they want to know what I was doing. So while I came out, I was confident I'll get it. And within 2 weeks, I was called up to go to general nursing. So when I was called to general nursing, I went up to the office to get my, you know, my, what do you call that, piece of paper or transfer, whatever you call that. The nursing officer, who before, in one time, did something real bad to me. And he doesn't like me, you know. In the ward I was working, there was an attendant who actually beat up a patient. Because the patient was very rowdy, very mischievous, misbehaved. He beat up the patient. And it was a commotion in the ward. I was in the office with the nursing officer, who's in charge. All the noise commotion went up to the office upstairs. So there was a phone call, and I actually went up to the dormitory to check what was going on. So when I went there to check, the nursing officer said, "Hey, the high nursing officer is coming down to check." And then the patient said to the attendant who beat him, "When the nursing officer comes, I'm going to tell him you beat me." And the attendant said, "If you tell him I beat you, when he go, I'll beat you some more." Then okay. I would say, "God beat me." He pointed his finger, I was there. Because I was on the fire, what was wrong? He told me, I would say, "God beat me." So you know, the dog came in, this high nursing officer. And the nursing officer came with him. Now the nursing officer, he was a Buddhist. I was with him in the room. He knows everything. But I was standing in the center of the room. The high nursing officer came in. He said, "What's all this commotion about?" The patient said, "God beat me." You know, and the high nursing officer started to say, "How can you do that?" Oh, I stood there and let him say everything. My nursing officer, who was senior in charge, he didn't even open his mouth. I was looking at him. He didn't even open his mouth. You know how much hated I was. And so when the high nursing officer finished, he said, "Can I have a word?" "I don't want to hear any word." But
he walked up. You know, that day when I went and collect my living paper to transfer, I went up into the office. That was the chief nursing officer there, the high nursing officer there, all part of that. I took my paper, and you know what? He opened his mouth. This one, yeah. He opened his mouth. Oh, so you got it now. He said, certainly I got it. And I'm leaving. And you shouldn't have done what you did. Another officer said, gun, let it go. I said, that's the problem. And I went off. You see, that's the thing about human beings. They don't like us. They don't like me. Over there. There's all kinds of things. You know, here was God, as you say here, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I'm going to comfort with God, and he will see me through. He saw me through. When I went to GA General Hospital work, you know, it is well known by the General Hospital staff that any of the nurses, male nurses, that go from Woodbridge Hospital, the Mental Hospital, to General Hospital to work, they are bad guys. They are bad cats. You know, so I went to the ward. I was being watched by the high nursing officer, you know, the sister, we call them the sisters now. Over there, they're watching us, you know. And I was in the ward. And after 1 month, we went to the school. We were thrown to the ward first. I was given a good report. And he was surprised. From one ward to another, they said, how come your report from there is so bad? I said, you know that kind of hospital when it's not there. I thought very frankly. And I have always the first saying of almost everyone first column. And I was even surprised they took me and says, I'll put you in charge. I wasn't even second year. They put me in charge. They said, I trust you. And that's one thing about trust. People need to trust us. That's not why we need to do what we are, well, you know, we are paid to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? What job you are paid to do, you have to fulfill that, the job that you are paid to do. What we call Chinese, jiak chua. You know, don't do that. What is that? Malingerer, you have a malingerer. You see. It's our duty we are paid to do, we do the work. You know. So that's how God did that for me. I was so blessed by it. You know, God has His time. So he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Yeah, this is of course the anointing is when he gives you the blessing, the ability. But anointing also has another meaning of the word, well, sanctify. Is that all right? Okay, let's read first a few more. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Out the belly flows rivers of living water. Do you remember? Alright, let's read some of the words now in the book of let's see, Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Lord that do sanctify you. Now here again he says, for it is a verily my Sabbath you shall keep. What is Sabbath? What is Sabbath? Sabbath is it's rest. Rest. In Hebrew, it's Shabbat. That means Yahweh Shabbat, but I don't have it here. But that's what you find. That's why I said there are a whole lot of God's title in here. Because why we found already verse 3. He restored myself, he lickled me. Okay, sorry, verse 2. He made me to lie down in green pasture. He lickled me, he said, still one. That is why you also have rest. When you have rest, you have peace. Is that not true? The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Lord, He is my shepherd, my Yahweh Roy. He also my Yahuwah Shalom, Yahuwah Shabbat, or Yahuwah my rest. Do you understand that? So I just want to point out here for you to see. It is the Lord that sanctifies us. So what do we have right here? Yehovah Jah, the Lord is our salvation. Before you can have rest and peace and salvation, He is Jehovah Yah, or Jehovah Jah. There's some place, you know, but actually the word Yah is a short contracted form for the word Yahweh or Yehovah. Alright? And in the King James Version, I think the word Jehovah Jah, it appears only once. Let me see, this is Psalm 64. I believe it should be in Psalm 68. 68 and verse 4. Psalm 68. Yes. Sing unto the Lord, sing praises to His name. This is something that we all, this is a one line verse here that we sing. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Sing unto God, sing praises to His name. Exalt Him that run upon the heavens by His name. Exalt Him that run upon the heavens by His name. By His name, Yah. And rejoice before Him. And rejoice, that's our song. Okay, by His name, Yah. Just, this is only, I think, the only verse that King James translated it that way. Okay, by His name, Yahweh. Okay, or Yehovah. And rejoice before Him. So, Jehovah is Yah. Yahweh is Yah. But Yahweh is Yah. Yah is salvation. It means Jehovah is Yahshua. Is Savior. Okay? So, go back to Psalm 23. That is what we see. You know, I noticed my head with God. My cup runneth over. Out of this valley shall flow rivers of living water. That's what actually we find in the book of John, chapter 3, I think. That should be in John, chapter 3, verse 38. John, chapter 7, sorry. Verse. Yes. He that believe on me. John, chapter 7, verse 38. He that believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. No more take a man and cut it down. Alright. That's a whole lot of power, a lot of joy, a fountain of life. Flowing, that's salvation. You know what is living water, huh? I mean, we need water to live. Living water, not dead water. Listen. So that is Jehovah God. Okay, so let us continue and let's go to Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2 also. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2. Behold, Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my soul. He also is become my salvation. That's one thing. Remember this. Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. You know, because of the bubbling of this living water in you, you sing song. Don't you think so? You sing because you have He's your strength. You sing. That's what. Sing like David sing. As a song. Sing like David sing. Dance like David dance. Because that is real. Is that a song? So that's what we read over here in the Psalms. My cup runneth over. Next, go to the next one here. Yehovah Shema. The Lord is with us. The Lord is here. The Lord is there. The Lord is with us. Okay, we go to some other book, a few verses of scripture. Because we're going to compound this whole thing. Ezekiel 48, verse 39. Ezekiel. Last chapter.
chapter of Bible, in the last chapter of the book, and verse 35, the last verse. It was the millennium temple here, and it's ever run by 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Where is that? That is here. When you are out of Jerusalem, you point. The Lord is there in the temple. The Lord is there. But you are in the temple, is the Lord Shammah. The word Shammah means with us. You understand? And why is he always pointing to Jerusalem as a city? Because you are a holy city, a spiritual holy city, in New Jerusalem. But Israel always look for that which is, well, natural. So we are the holy city, New Jerusalem, in the making. So the Lord is here with us. See? So when you look at this, okay, let's go back to Psalms 23 again. Alright, so in this last three verses, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See the word, thou art with me. See the word, you read the word, thou art with me, and you can say, Jehovah, Shammah. You see, the word is also there. It points to that verse as well. Okay? And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy. What? Jehovah Shammah. Just with me, that's why I have this. Isn't it so? Isn't it? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Because Jehovah Shammah is with you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That house? What house? His house, his body, which being fall into the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to Psalms 46, 11. Okay? Psalms 46, 11. The Lord gave the word. Oops, did I get a mistake with this one? I get mixed up with 46? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading 68. You know, I'm getting a bit 46 verse 11. 46 verse 11. Alright. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Yahweh is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. See? Jehovah Shammah. Now, in the whole end of this, look at this last one. Jehovah Nekudishu. The Lord is our sanctifier. The whole of this chapter of Psalms 23 is made possible because He sanctified us. Make us clean. He's our salvation. He's our salvation. Right? Now we cannot have salvation if we're not sanctified. When He saved us, He has to clean us. He has to sanctify us. You understand? And putting His righteousness in us. And then give us His strength, His joy, His mercy. He's guiding him. Everything he do, look, all of this stuff is all about him and you. Everything that God is. There are many more titles you can look at it if you want to listen to. Huh? Because the Lord Yahweh is El, El Shaddai. The eternal one. And Elohim, the Almighty One. You see. Amen. The Lord bless you. Father, thank you, Lord.
for your grace again, for your precious word of light. Surely, Lord, we are blessed people because of the grace for us, O Lord, which is down from heaven, Lord. Touching our life, changing our life, Father. Making us, O Father, your children. And truly, Father, what is the Lamb of God to be praised, for you have taken us away our sins. We want to thank you, Father, for all this that you have done for us. For Lord, you are truly our everything. Not just El Shaddai. Not just what you are in everything, O Father, in your great attribute. But Lord, you are everything. What you have shown us, you have plant your spirit, O Lord, into our spirit, that we may feel your presence, that we may know you truly, that there is no other God but Yahweh, and Yahweh alone. Lord, you have manifested yourself, Lord, in many mysterious ways, and revealed thyself, O Lord, in so many simple ways, O your Father, in thy holy word, in the life of your people, in the songs, O Lord, yourself. King David, our Lord, Father, in everything, O Father, that we can see your hands in. We want to thank you, Father, for today. We want to thank you for this Psalms 23, how much, O Lord, it means today to us than it was ever before. To be able to see, O Lord, the small, the little short songs that King David wrote and sung unto you, Father, when he was out there among his sheep. We thank you, Father. We pray the Lord will be like him. Rejoice, being strengthened by the Lord to sing as he sung and to rejoice and dance as he did, Father. To know that you are truly real in our life. Thank you, Father, Lord, for today.